الحمد لله الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, when people have problems in their life, many people resort and turn towards those things that are totally prohibited and forbidden for a Muslim to turn towards. Many will turn towards the haram, usury, and interest institutions. Many will turn towards revenge and anger, venting. Many will turn towards shirk and kufr, where they will go to some temple and some haram place to resolve the issues. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so simple for us that solution to all our problems, I repeat, solution to all our problems, big or small, whether it be financial, whether it be social, whether it be national, international, in every facet, in every walk of life, solution to all our problems lies in Quran and Hadith. In what directions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran Sharif, what advices our Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us. So simple. Turn towards that and you will find solution to all our problems. Those who are learned amongst us, go to them, get their advice, and you'll see inshallah all your problems will get sorted out by following what is in Quran and Hadith, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the causes of problems being created in our lives today is that we do not know our preferences and our priorities in life. What's our preference? What's our priority in different aspects, facets and walks of our life? We do not know. And that is what is causing so much of problem, anxiety, depression, problems in our lives on a general level. I will go through some examples in this limited time. Each aspect of what I want to speak about is a bayan on its own. It's a discussion on its own. There's so much of detail to go through. How we find that in so many aspects of our life, what we're supposed to be doing as priority and preference, we're not doing that. And that is where we are causing disaster, problems in our homes, in our businesses, in our personal lives. And that affects so many other, it has so many other ripple effects. It affects in so many other ways. Personally, nationally, internationally. Then we wonder, why all these things are happening? Go to the root cause. So, the discussion is with regards to our preferences and priorities in life. I'll go through some examples. The first being, when it comes to dunya and akhirat, that means the worldly life and the hereafter. Our preference supposed to be, we all know as Muslims, to the hereafter over the world. To have the dunya, to have the items of the world, within limits, within the parameters and boundaries of Sharia, is totally permissible. In fact, we are encouraged. But the preference always supposed to be to the hereafter over the world. In all aspects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says many places in the Quran Sharif. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that what's the cause of problem in our lives today? One of it being that we are giving preference to the worldly life over the hereafter. To amass the wealth of the world, to work, to do our business, profession, we are encouraged. Totally permissible. But don't give our heart to it. Many, many times we've heard these examples. Repeats of these examples. Maulana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi always gives example, famous in Ma'arif al-Mathnawi, of people traveling in that ship. When the water comes into the ship, it's going to sink and you've got a problem. But you need the water for the ship to travel. As long as the water does not come into the ship. In the same token, we need the dunya, we need the wealth, we need the things of the world. But once the love of this is inculcated in our lives, the end all and be all of our life is money, dunya, wealth, property, and the perishable things of this world. We know we're looking for disaster. So this, as I said, each point I'm going to speak about is a topic on its own. If I have to speak just upon this point, it's a bayan and it's a talk on its own. So again, preference, priority to the akhirat, the hereafter, over the dunya in every aspect, every facet, every walk of life. In our home, dressing, in our speaking, in our businesses, in every aspect of our life. Second example, second aspect of this is with regards to education. Islamic education has to be given in a Muslim's life, has to be given. Compulsory, must be given. Priority, preference, status over secular education. Secular education has its importance in our life. Nobody condemns it that you do not acquire secular education. But obviously, there's limitations, there's restrictions. When it comes to males, females, etc., etc., a lot of details we all know about. So it has its importance, secular education. But preference was supposed to be to Islamic education. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts more than 20 years we're in the field of Islamic education. May Allah accept. But we see, as time is going, madrasa education, dini education, is diminishing. The importance of it, how intrinsic it is in a Muslim's life, is diminishing, is weakening, decreasing in our lives. School will spend 7 hours, 8 hours, plus tuition, plus so many other things. Comes to time, comes to cost, comes to so many things, we'll do whatever it is. Secular education. Islamic education, 1 hour, 2 hours. That too, we want to dictate to the madrasa, the apa, the maulana, the muallim, the ustaz, the sheikh, the mufti, whoever it be, we want our way of madrasa. That the child must come madrasa at this time, the mother is going shopping in some area, send the child to the apa or the molana, after 20 minutes, half an hour, take the child away. I'm just sending my child. We receive numerous calls where they say, molana, I want to send, or sheikh, or apa, or mufti, or molana, that I want to send my child just to learn some surahs and some Quran. I don't want them to learn everything else. I'll teach them the balance and that's it. When it comes to school, we're there on time, before time. Uniform is proper, timing is proper. And like that we know whatever else, we'll follow all the formalities. Comes to madrasa, we want it our way. Our timings, our way, take out this, take out that, only teach this. Not 5 days a week, must make it 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, 1 day. And we can see what is getting worse and worse and worse. Extra murals, extra curricular activities, tuition, and so many other excuses. I've just come from a ladies' program in Claremont. I spoke there from 10:30 to 11:30 approximately. And I spoke to the ladies the same thing. That the fathers, with all due respect, the fathers don't take so much share in the Islamic education of the children in terms of spending time with the children. In terms, the mother is spending most of the time. 80%, 70%, 90% of the time the mother is spending. And sometimes more. Father hardly even knows, I know of certain fathers don't even know which madrasa the child is attending. Ask them where the child is going, which madrasa is somewhere in Overport, in Durban somewhere. The name of the madrasa is not known. Where is the madrasa is not known. Mother knows everything. So teach the children the preference and priority of Islamic education over secular education. Comes to the time of homework, first madrasa, first your sabak, first your Quran, first your surahs, first your du'as, first this, first that. Then comes after that, everything else. Make sure the child is on time. The child is attired and dressed properly. How school is 5 days, madrasa must be even 6 days, but even, okay, 5 days. And this is, we know where we're coming from, our older days till now. Do not say, do not use this excuse. Invalid. To say the times have changed, now the modern time is this technology and doesn't work. What's going to happen in future? When we will then make designer madrasas, designer classes, how we design it. Must be like this and must be like that. Keep on deleting, keep on decreasing. Where's going to end off? What's going to be the future of our youth of today? They're going to become parents. What are they going to teach their children? Today we'll make it 2 days or 3 days or 4 days or 1 day or half an hour or 45 minutes. What's going to happen for the future? Then they'll become Mufti Google and Mufti so many other things and they'll go learn there. And we lead into disaster after that. The maktab education is so important. With all due respect to the Islamic and Muslim schools, even if they're attending, they still send them to the maktab. That's the barakat is in the maktab. And that is where the true dini education we learned and we give our children also. Inshallah, they will benefit for future also. When our eyes will close and we'll be in a grave, they will become isali sawab in sadqa jariya for us. Where the proper Islamic education is given to them correctly, proper standards, proper education, and they are well nurtured Islamically. So the second point is Islamic education over secular education. That, as I said, this is another topic I can go into. And so much of detail I can give with regards to what's supposed to be done, what is being done, and what is happening in our people today. We'll spend hours and hours. We'll spend time, we'll spend everything. All our resources to give them secular education. To what level also? To high school, to college, to varsity, to everything. But when the child comes to madrasa, grade 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, somewhere around there we'll stop. Few will go to 5, some will go to 6, some will go to 7. Come high school, forgotten. They learnt enough, they don't have to go anymore. And also, something has become very common today which we have to mention. And that is with regards to making our children hafiz al-Quran. Respected brothers and sisters, those who are listening over the receivers, that to make a child a hafiz al-Quran is a very great virtue. It's got its due respect, honor, status. But remember to give them the basic Islamic education in a maktab situation of what is halal, what is haram, what is permissible, wudu, salah, tayammum, ghusl. And like there's so many other laws of marriage, of divorce, of inheritance. And the list continues so much days. That is farz-e-ayn and compulsory. We for us and for our children. To make our child hafiz al-Quran is very great. It's something of great importance. But is not as important as when it comes to the maktab and basic Islamic education. Today we find many people, men and women have this feeling. I want my son, I want my daughter to become a hafiz or hafiza. Very good, very great. Got its due importance. But ask yourself, why I say this, we go through this all the time. It's like a daily or a weekly basis we go through this. Where we have to explain somebody or the other. Have you given your child the proper farz, compulsory Islamic education? Yes, if your child wants to do hifz, by all means, but do it side by side. Look for some madrasa or some place, some institute, where this can also be taught to them. Where they be given that, the proper Islamic education, side by side with the hifz. Yes, the time may be restricted to some extent. Maybe he'll take or she will take longer for hifz. But we know we are not shirking our responsibility to our children. طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. To acquire Islamic education to that level which is compulsory, it is a duty and compulsory upon every Muslim. Necessary. To become a Hafiz of Quran is not compulsory. It is meritorious. It is great. Of great value and reward. And that too, when they become Hafiz of Quran, they still have to perform Salah. Still have to be a role model. We know what is the situation today with our Huffaz. Hafiz al-Quran, we know what is happening today. Where they are found. Let us understand the importance of Islamic education over secular education. As I said, it's a topic on its own. I can continue speaking this with regards to this aspect. Let's go to the third point. The first was about Akhirat over Dunya, hereafter to the world. Second was Islamic education over secular education. Third being, with regards to, mashallah, the month of Ramadan we are in, Allah Ta'ala says the purpose of fasting. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Purpose of fasting we've heard so many times, 120 times we've heard. The purpose is to adopt taqwa in our lives. I'm not going to the details, translations, explanation of what is taqwa. Simple. To gain in our lives Allah's consciousness. To abstain from sin and to do what is good. But let us understand, analyze this word taqwa. Piety, God-fearing, Allah's consciousness. Many people have translated in so many different ways, Allah's fear. What does this constitute? We've limited today piety just to certain actions and rituals and dressings and certain actions in our life. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, charity, fasting, and those type of things. We've limited piety to that. A person is dressing in a certain way, or he's going out the path of Allah, he's going to the khanqah, he's going for hajj, going for umrah, and going for to the masjid, he's reading his tahajjud, zikr all the time, Quran Sharif he has, giving his charity, helping the poor, the widows, the orphans. Very good deeds, very great deeds. But that is not only piety. What's the use? If the person is doing all that, but he's involved in fraud, involved in drugs, gambling, stealing, embezzling, usurping the rights, snatching the rights of orphans and widows, and dealing in haram, buying, selling, speaking lies, swearing, bad akhlaq and character, what's the use? Is that piety? Is that taqwa? So again, preference and priority. I recited the hadith at the beginning when Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. He's given us a very, very important advice. You want to be the person who's the best. Normally in dressing we want to be the best. Our car must be the best. Our technology, cell phone, and whatever modcons and items and whatever else we have, must be the best. I must have the latest technology. Everything must be the best and latest. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam expounds and explains to us clear hadith, avowed clear message, that you want to be the person who makes the most ibadah, most obedient to Allah, most worshipping to Allah. What is the solution? What is the recipe? What is the way to do it? Ittaqil maharim. Abstain from sins in your life. And that is the main ingredient of taqwa. Ramadan came to bring taqwa. Taqwa is not, piety is not just a person reads his namaz, fast, zakat, hajj, tahajjud, umrah, hajj, charities, and those type of things. It's not only that. Yes, those are very great deeds. But the main ingredient, preference, priority I was speaking about, third point now. is with regards to the aspect of abstinence from sins in our life. The person is using his eyes for haram. He's committing zina with his eyes, adultery, fornication with his eyes, with his ears, with his mouth, breaking promises, stealing, speaking lies, not paying debts when it's due, and using the same wealth to give charity. Come the masjid collection, come madrasa, come some yatim khana, some poor person, somebody knocks on your door. You're owing people money, but you're taking the same money helping people. What's the use? Where's your preference? Where's your priority in life? That is farz for you. To pay your debts, to pay your zakat, what is compulsory, that is first priority in your life. Yes, you do the others, but don't do it in a way that compromises the first aspect. Even if you give your charities, you help the poor, whatever you have to do, it must not be in a way that compromises the first aspect, your priority and preference that's supposed to be in your life. Very, very important. And we find it so common today. Breaking promises, debts upon debts. That is why Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, Nafsul mu'min mu'allaqatun bidini, ma lam tuqda an. That a person's ruh, his soul, his life, it will be pending upon his debts. Until he's not paid, his ruh and his life is pending to enter Jannat, enter Paradise, until his debts are not paid. Make sure that the priority is to your debts. Then worrying about nafil charity, nafil umrah, nafil hajj, and other nafil and optional actions in our life, where we're spending, where we're wasting, where we want to show the people, marriages, walimas, functions, parties, what people are doing today. But they are squeezing the blood. They are squeezing the blood of those creditors, not paying them. And they don't understand their priorities and preferences in life. And that is what is causing no barakat in the home after that. No barakat in the business. Problems upon problems. Sicknesses upon sicknesses. Wonder where it's coming from. What is happening? I'm giving so much of charity. I'm helping so many poor people. I'm distributing halim in Ramadan. I'm helping people for a time of iftar. I'm giving khajur, zamzam. So much I'm doing. No barakat, no happiness, no contentment. Problems upon problems. Ask yourself, what's the source of that wealth? That income, what's the source? Is it haram or halal? Doubtful. Then, have you paid your dues and debts? Think back 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Person could be passed away too. Why I say this? Allah Ta'ala's fazal and karam, we deal with many estates where the heirs come and complain that we know of this person, that person. He's a 5-time namazi, going for umrah, hajj, and so many other activities of deen they're involved in, and tilawat of Quran and dhikr, and so much trustees of masjids and madrasas, and helping so many poor people. But they owed the marhum, man or woman, they owed him this amount and that amount. They thought the person passed away, why must pay the heirs? It's forgotten. Think back. Rewind. We say fast forward, fast rewind. Think back. Anywhere I owe the person a few cents to. A few rands. Yes, if the person passed away, you can't get hold of the person, you don't know the person's name and those details. And if there's a valid reason, there's a valid excuse, you can't get hold of the person, whatever the situation be, give charity in that person's name. It's hoped. It is hoped by Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, through the charity that you gave on behalf of that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you for not paying that person out. If there's some valid reason. Otherwise, you should be paying that person his dues. That's your priority and preference in life. Humble yourself. Make yourself low. Humble yourself. Go ask the person for maaf that you delayed so long. And say, I'll make some arrangement. I'm going to pay you now. Or pay the heirs. Pay those widows. Pay those orphans what is due to them. Something so important in our lives. So I said, what I was speaking about, the third point, is with regards to the preferences. We went on to the aspects of debts, etc. But what I was speaking about, the third point, is with regards to taqwa. That the main ingredient, priority, and the important aspect of taqwa in a Muslim's life is abstinence from sins together with doing all the good deeds that we are doing. Today we are worried about tahajjud, we are worried about zikr, tilawat of Quran, worried about i'tikaf, worried about all the other, many other nafil acts and optional acts. Yes, they are important. We should be carrying them out. We do not say do not do it. But the preference was supposed to be where? The preference supposed to be with regards to abstinence from sins in our life. Many people misunderstand these things also the other way around. That I'm not staying away from sins, I'm not staying away from gambling and haram and all those things. So I mustn't read Quran, I mustn't make dhikr. That's incorrect also. Continue with what you're doing, good deeds. Make dua to Allah, make the full effort. And check in your life what sins and gunas are being committed. Whether with regards to Allah or people's rights, and make sure we fulfill it. That is the third aspect. The fourth being, with regards to our charities. I did touch on it in between, but I want to highlight it as a fourth aspect, and that is with regards to our charities. We find many people today are very much concerned to give charity. I want to give charity, I want to give lillah, I want to give sadaqah, I want to feed the poor, I want to give halim, I want to give kajur, zamzam, I want to do so much good deeds in terms of charity, especially in the month of Ramadan. But ask ourselves, have we paid our zakat? Do we know how to pay zakat? Do we know what to pay zakat on? How to work out the percentages? How to attach values? Who to pay it to? Many people have businesses and they have a few coppers and few coins and few rands lying there. They say that anybody come, whether it's Thursday or any day in Ramadan, give it out to anybody that come, Muslim, non-Muslim, deserving, not deserving, and they take that to be the zakat. How many will come and ask us, that Mufti Sahab, I don't know the true value of my stock. How do I evaluate? What do I do? As one of the ulama that spoke recently in one of the masjids mentioned, that when the time comes to pay your taxes and SARS has to come, then what do you do? Then very quickly you'll appoint someone, you'll do it, you'll sort it out, you'll make sure you get everything properly checked. Why you know you're in trouble. But then when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a small amount to be paid, 2.5%, which is not a tax. It's a protection for us. What is zakat? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Charity is a means, zakat, sadaqah, lillah, is a means of us cleansing our wealth. We worried about insurance of the world. This is Allah Ta'ala's insurance. Zakat is Allah Ta'ala's insurance of our wealth, of ourselves. So preference in our charities. When I say preference, what do I mean? Make sure our zakat is paid out fully, properly, correctly, together with whatever other charities we are giving out. Continue what we are giving, but not in a way that you are compromising the payment of your zakat. How do we pay? Who do we pay to? What is zakat compulsory on? Find out from the ulama, the muftis, the organizations. Correctly, and make sure it is paid properly, correctly. If there are any questions with that regard, find out from them. Go to them. Go to the learned people. Find out. Take out time. We got time for everything. Today, press up a button with some email, SMS. There's so many ways of finding out. Find out correctly, properly. Take out the time. Go meet the person personally. Alim, Imam, Mufti, organization. Go and find out. I need to pay this. I need to do that. So preference must be to our zakat. There's so much to be spoken about zakat, lillah and sadaqah. As I said, it's a topic on its own again. The fourth point being, which I did touch on in between, but I want to highlight it, is one side we have our charities, and one side we have our debts. Debts must be given preference over charities. Yes, zakat is compulsory, so we have to give our zakat. But I'm talking about our optional charities. Make sure our debts are fully paid. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that a shaheed yughfar lahu kullu dhunubihi illa ad-din, or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. That even a person who's martyred in the path of Allah, went out, gave his life, all his sins are forgiven. He will be given a daraja in Jannat, status in Jannat below the Anbiya and Prophets. So high. All sins are forgiven. Illa deen. But debts. Owed to people, rights of people, that will not be forgiven until he goes and pays it or the person forgives him. We have to pay our dues. Whether now, if we don't pay now, we will have to pay in the hereafter. Many people today, they will liquidate their businesses, change the names. This trust, this CC, this closed corp, this different type of names they'll use, technical names, legal names, to get away from paying. Today is this company, then is that company, then is that company. So many directors, so many different people involved. They'll form trusts. Why? To secure. They think they're securing their wealth and they don't pay the creditors. Liquidation, sequestration, administration orders. Not to pay people. Remember, brothers, if we don't pay here, definitely we'll have to pay one day. And there we're going to pay much more. Nabi Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we've heard this hadith many times. Ask Sahaba radiallahu anhum, atadruna manil muflis? Famous hadith. He asked Sahaba radiallahu anhum, do you all know who is a bankrupt person? Sahaba replied, malla dirham lahu wala mata'. Person got no money, no goods, he's bankrupt. Nothing he has to his name. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Alladhi ya'ti yawm al-qiyamah bi salatin kathira wa siyamin kathira wa qad shatama hadha, daraba hadha, akala mal hadha, wa kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam." Who is a bankrupt person according to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Pyare Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tajdar Madina, Nabi Arabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says the person who on the day of Qiyamah, he will come to Allah, plenty namaz, plenty rozas, plenty salah, plenty charities, plenty, I would say, further explanation, plenty hajj, plenty umrah, plenty good deeds. That would regards to Allah Ta'ala, says hukukullah. Plenty he did. Came to hukukul nas, hukukul ibad, people's rights, shatama hadha, verbally abuse people. Daraba hadha, physically abuse people. Akala maala hadha, he stole the wealth of people. Whether it be physically, whether it be by fraud, whether in estates, so common today. We go through so many estates. So common, the executor or some young male in the family, he is devouring, usurping the rights of orphans and the widows. They don't even know, many of them don't even know that they deserve so much in the estate. This person quietly takes the wealth. Sometimes the lawyer is doing it. Sometimes the executor is doing it. Sometimes it's somebody and somebody in the estate. And then everything just disappears from the trust of this person and that person. Legal ways they find and they take it away. How far are you going to run? How far are you going to run? You don't pay here, you have to pay there. So when he came to the rights of people, what this person did? He did a lot of good deeds. 5 times namazi, front saf, next to the muazzin, behind the imam, tahajjud, zikr, umrah, hajj, in the path of Allah, going to the pious people, doing so much of good, came to the rights of people, akala maala hadha, stole from people, shatama hadha, verbally abused people, daraba hadha, physically abused people. What will happen with this person on the day of Qiyamah? How he becomes bankrupt? First and foremost, his good deeds will be taken and given to those people. So much of namaz, so much of roza, zakat, hajj, he did so much. All the good deeds will be taken and given to those people who he did wrong to, in whichever form it be. Whether it be somebody great, small, big, whether it be a child, all the good deeds taken and given to the person. If his good deeds, فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُ, his good deeds are now finished. He only got certain limited amount of good deeds, it's finished. Then the sins of those people he did wrong to will be taken and placed onto his account. And through that, the person is now bankrupt. He's supposed to be a pious person, supposed to be a good person, did so much of good, built masjids, madrasas, helped people, so much of good he did. Hukukul ibad, hukukul nas, he wronged people, snatched from people, swore people, hit people, so much of wrong he did. Showed his might and haughtiness and his wealth and his authority in so many cases. The evil and the sin of those people will be placed on his account. And there he becomes muflis, he is bankrupt and taken and thrown into Jahannam. So, when it comes to our charities, I mentioned point four, now point five, with regards to debts, charities, get our preferences and priorities right in life. As we're speaking, I spoke about it before, I'm saying it again, when it comes to Ramadan, we want to give out Haleem, we want to help poor people for iftar, so much we want to do, give our charities, check our wealth. Also, very important brothers, the person who is giving us, is giving it to people, what about that person? Yes, we cannot go and investigate with a fine comb. But if we have even a doubt, abstain. We find many people today are dealing in haram. They are embezzling, stealing, backdoor stuff, and what they are doing in regards to drugs, in regards to so many haram items. When it comes to charity, when it comes to Ramadan, they are giving free this and free that, and so much they are doing. Ask yourself, that he is giving for free, is his wealth free of haram, of doubtful items? You have a doubt, stay away. You can afford it yourself. What do you have to go stand in the line for so many hours? Miss your namaz, tilawat of Quran, buy it yourself, it's a few rands, a few coppers. You know it's halal, you know it's fine, you know you've no doubt. There you're standing there, you don't even know what so much of intermingling and so many other things are taking place. Your namaz is gone. Your salah is gone. Jamaat salah, jamaat of namaz is gone. Your tilawat time is gone. Your zikr time is gone. And so many other things are gone. But you're worried about that one or two buckets or liters of what is being given out, and that too you're not even sure whether it's halal or haram or doubtful. You have sure, your certainty and no doubt, that is a different matter. But otherwise, rather go do it yourself and pay for it yourself. So whether it's Ramadan or out of Ramadan, be concerned about our debts, charities and preferences with regards to these aspects. The next aspect is with regards to our wills, estates. Very common we find today, people are concerned in their wills about the bequest part. I bequeath, my bequests are, I want to give this masjid, this madrasa, or this Darul Uloom, or this yatim khana, or this orphanage, this relative of mine's in the estate, I want to give this and give that. That is very much clearly documented in the estate, in the will. But when it comes to the aspect of the distribution, there we find people are depriving us. Or they are giving them incorrectly what they're not supposed to give them. There's no time to go into details. As I said, this is a topic on its own. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, لا وصيّة لوارث. You're not supposed to bequeath and make a bequest to an heir. Somebody who's inheriting from you, you cannot bequeath and make a bequest for that person. One broad principle I'm explaining. If you bequeath to any person who is a non-heir, you're not supposed to go above one third. Only thuluth and one third is allowed, not more than one third. That's a separate topic on its own, and not of other details to it. Not of other technical and not of other application and explanation with regards to these aspects. But the preference in people's worlds today is now I want to give this charity, I want to give this, I want to give that. But with regards to the actual estate, they had a problem with their son, who is still alive and is a Muslim and he deserves to inherit from the estate. They disown him. With regards to the wife, with regards to parents. When it comes to parents, I wish to mention this very clearly. We have numerous, right up to a few days ago, one person kept on asking me this question in so many different ways. He found no loophole by me. I don't know where else he could have been to. And tried to find some loophole. Where he says, Maulana, I'm worth so and so much. I'm worth so much. And what happens is, do my parents inherit from my estate? Do my parents inherit from me? What we must understand, what this person tried to say, and which he stated in different ways, not very clearly, not come out about too avowed and clear from him, that he tried to say what my parents did for me in Auzubillah. I did the business, I worked, my wife, my children, my this, my that, we did everything. So I asked him, I asked this person, I said, you're so wealthy, you say you're so wealthy, you're so intelligent, you see where you are. How you came into this world and what was the cause for you to come where you are today? Your parents' du'as. their effort and what they did to bring you to where you are today. How can you now even ask this question? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed shares for them in the Quran Sharif. Whatever the situation be, they are Muslim, they are your heir, they are alive, they have to inherit from your estate. Whether your wife likes it or doesn't like it, whether your children, whatever the circumstances be. So we find this very common when it comes to wills. First of all, the wills are filled in un-Islamically. Depriving heirs. We find also with regards to wills and estates, people delay the distribution. Years and years. How many times? Not once, not twice, numerous times. We deal with estates where the person passed away in 1958, 1964. 108 heirs come out. Sometimes more than that. Where the person was worth a huge amount and come down to the last heir who is inheriting 8 rand from the estate. After so many millions or so many thousands of rands the person was worth, and then the last heir is inheriting 8 rand which is due to him and he has to be given. Even the last cent, the last rand has to be given to the person. So by the way, I'm just speaking about wills and estates, but our preference in our estates and wills, making out these things, writing it out, go to the ulama, go to the muftis, go to the organizations. Take out the time. It's our responsibility and our duty. Today everybody became a mufti and a molana where they want to do whatever they want to do. Remember, this wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is a loan to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks so many places in the Quran. Man dhal ladhi yuqridu Allah qardan hasana. Like that, so many other places. It is a loan. We are using borrowed wealth. This wealth we have has been borrowed and loaned to us. We cannot do what we want, how we want in this wealth while we are living. And especially when we passed away. What we want to do today, we want to dictate from the grave. That this must happen and that must happen. Simple. I want a Sharia Islamic will. The distribution of my estate must be done Sharia way. This is the organization of Alim or Mufti or Molana that he must sort it out and he must give the verdict on it and they'll sort it out from there. That's the simplest way. If we got certain other preferences or certain recommendations or something we have, go to the ulama. I don't want to go into the details, there's no time. But go to them and find out. So we come back again to the point that in our wills, preference must be to the distribution of the estate amongst the heirs without depriving them. Rather than being concerned about our wasiyat and those nafil aspects, which is not compulsory for us to even give, if we give is meritorious and great for us. The next aspect, with regards to preference and priorities, is with regards to our hajj and our other trips. Whether it's umrah, whether it's holidays, whether it's timeshares, whether it be any trip like that, business trips, we got so much of money to spend with regards to that. When it comes to Hajj, I personally know, why I say this, I personally know of so many people that haven't been for Hajj, although they can even afford to go for 10 times for Hajj. Why? Many will use the excuse it's too expensive. Many will use the excuse that of their parents or their mother or their father, yes, if they are valid excuses, go ask the ulama and muftis. If they are valid excuses, go ask the ulama and the muftis and they will explain you what to do or how to do. But do not make flimsy excuses. Many times we find the parents are restricting the children. The in-laws, the parents, and like that, there's so many other restrictions. The list does not end. We find a person doing umrah upon umrah, trips upon trips, holidays upon holidays, timeshares upon timeshares, business trips. They're spending, wasting wealth with regards to marriages, nikahs, walimas, parties, birthday parties, engagement parties, and that's all they do. But when it comes to hajj, no application is made. At least make the application. Fulfill the requirements. When your labbaik is written, you will go. But make the effort from your side. So hajj preference over everything else. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that a person who has the means to perform his hajj and does not do so, فَلَا عَلَيْهِ أَن يَمُوتَ يَهُودِيًا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًا. He says, I don't even worry. رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had fikr for the whole ummah till the day of Qiyamah. But he says, I don't care whether this person dies as a Jew or a Christian because he has not fulfilled his hajj. Make the application, fulfill all the means. Allah will send the wealth in some way. How many people go and see hajj? Those of us who've been for Hajj, Allah take us all the time. But those who've seen, go and see what is happening there. People that cannot afford even a few riyals for food, they are there for Hajj. Allah made the means. How He made the means, Allah knows best how. They are hunched. They can't even walk. They can't even talk. They can't even eat. They can't even move much. They don't have any wealth. We can see their situations avowed and clear in front of us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the means for them to come for Hajj. Allah will make the means. Halal ways. Allah will send it in some way, whichever way it be. But preference must be to trips and our vacations and our traveling to Hajj over all other optional and other trips that we carry out in our lives. And the last aspect that I wish to speak about, and that is with regards to our duties and responsibilities. Our duties and responsibilities in the time that is given to us as amanat. Example, a person is a manager. He's working in some place as an employee of some person. What is your preference and priority at that time? It's your amanat time and time of trust where you are entrusted to look after the shop, the business, the profession, whatever the circumstances be and the situation be. You are supposed to be worried about your responsibilities given to you. Today people are more on their cell phones, worrying about other items, other things happening in the world and around them and worrying about their own selves. Whether it comes to a shop, a madrasa, whether it comes to a school, whether it comes to a profession, worry about your responsibilities. We know if we have an employee, whether a person cleaning our homes or clothes or cooking or our shop, if we have an employee, put ourselves in that situation. And the person does not follow our instructions. When they're supposed to be cleaning, they're washing. When they're supposed to be washing, they're cleaning. Or cooking, or doing something else. How upset we get and angry. Ask ourselves, what we are supposed to be doing at a certain time? Fulfill that amanat responsibilities. Preference and priority in your life are supposed to be what you're supposed to be doing. Not what you want to do in that time. Again, priority and preference. And also I remembered one more point, and that's the last point. And that is with regards to our dealings, our character, and our time being spent. Where our time supposed to be spent as terms of priority, preference, our character, our akhlaq, our smiling, our good habits, first supposed to be at home. Today, mashallah, the person outside the home, preference is given and priority. When I go out of the home, to my secretary, to my workers, to my people around me, to all those type of people, I must smile. The woman dresses to kill when she goes out of the home. To kill, meaning to impress people. At home, it's different for the husband. Same husband to wife. Man is dressed up very well to go out of the house. At home, what is the situation? When it comes to the good akhlaq, cheerfulness, happiness, joy, good character, charity, begins at home. Wabda' biman ta'ud. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, charity begins at home. First are your family. Yes, you pay, give others, but first comes your family. Preference, priority again to your good character, to your smiling nature, cheerfulness, your charity. First at home with your family, with your children, with your wife, with your spouse, and then the others. But we know where's our priority today. The way the men dress, women dress when they go out, the way they carry on, cheerfulness, happiness, joy, character, they'll buy gifts, they'll do everything. For outsiders, come the home, is zero or below zero. How many times husbands, how many times wives, children, parents, relatives come and tell us that so and so person outside the home is doing this, that and the other. Inside the home is like a lion, he's an oppressor, he's like this, he's like that. He's worse than a lemon, worse than somebody who's got so much of pressure on his head all the time at home. Outside, complete different. Where's our priority? Where's our preference in life? Look at Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At home, what was his akhlaq? What was his character? How he used to live his life? Helping at home. Assisting, doing the best at home. Spending quality time, good time with the family, with his wife, with his children. And together with that fikr for the ummah outside the home. But we today, we know where our preferences are. How much of time the youngsters of today will spend with their friends? With their friends, how much of time is being spent? Today, husbands are spending so much of time with his friends. going here, going there, visiting soccers and exercises and what they're doing. This match, that match, so much of time is being spent. Yes, within limits is allowed. But then at home, how much of quality time is being spent to the children? Do you know, as I said earlier, I say it again, do you know which madrasa your child is attending? Do you know where is the child's sabak? Do you know what the child has to learn? What are the timing? What are your responsibilities? We have situations where even circulars are sent home from madrasa. These are the timings. These are the days we close, open. So many times we find people after 2 months, 3 months don't even know what happened. He's gone home. How many times the child comes back to madrasa? Your kitab is not signed. Your book not signed. Either is not signed. If it is signed, who signed it? Brothers, I want to hear who signed it. The maid signed it. The Quran. The gardener signed it. The driver signed it. Kafir, non-Muslim, napak, no wuzu, ghusl, nothing done. But he signed in the Quran and the kitab of. Where is the time we're spending today? Where's our preferences? Where's our priorities in life? And then we complain. My child like this, my wife like that, my husband like that, my grandparents or my children or my family, this is what is happening. The barakat is not in the home, there's no muhabbat. In all these aspects, I only gave few examples, approximately 9 to 10 examples I gave. There's much more to be spoken with regards to this topic. All of us, myself and all of us, need to introspect our lives. Where's my priority? Where's my preference with regards to every aspect of my life? My charities, my time, my efforts, my payments, my actions, my sins, my good deeds. And like that, the list will not end. We want to help everybody, but we have relatives that are needy, poor, our own parents, our own relatives, uncles, aunts, and all those people. Help that is fine, but preference should be to this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me, give all of us to make amal, and to realize this aspect in our life of preferences and priorities. Wa akhirat alhamdulillah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. Wa ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى سيدنا مولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأحوال والآفات وتقضينا بها جميع الحاجات تطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى درجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله